Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we're coming to you with our studies of 1 Peter chapter 2, the epistles of Peter to God's people. And we're dealing with some very, very interesting things in this epistle. You remember that the Apostle Peter is teaching those who are facing suffering and martyrdom. And hence what they need is hope. And these people are living in the midst of a generation where there's a great deal of hatred against the Christian, both by Jews and Gentiles. And some were really suffering for it. And the danger would be to ease up in their testimony so that they would not be persecuted as much. Or they would shut their mouths, or they might try to live like those around them. And thus they would dishonor the Savior. And how this could be true today? Although we are not facing physical suffering or physical martyrdom, there is no question we can, if we try to live for God in where you work, your neighborhood where you live, how easy it is for us to kind of shrink from being mocked and scoffed and be called a fanatic or what have you. And so these are written that you and I might continue to be diligent in our walk before God. And in our last lesson, we were dealing with verses 11 and 12, dealing with the character of the people of God, this new race of people born of God. And remember this, we are children of one who is God living on earth. Our home, our destination is heaven, the place of glory. Not on the moon or some other place, but in the very presence of God, the very center of the universe. And when I think of the fact that you and I have this wonderful relationship with God, and I'm living here among men on earth, most of whom are insane, in rebellion, or in cold indifference, they have no time, nor room, nor thought for God, except sometimes in a blasphemous way, or in opposition to God's people, or in a sneer. Nevertheless, we are strangers, as Peter here says, we are strangers, we're pilgrims. As I've been saying, we're not tourists, we are strangers, we are pilgrims. We've been separated unto God. We are the people of God living in the midst of the children of wrath. Hence, our lives ought to be different. Our conversation, our manner of speech must be different. Now, that doesn't mean you put a cloak around yourself and go off into some hole and leave people. No, how are you going to win people? We move among men and women. Some people, in this question of separation, withdraw from everybody except themselves. And that makes a lot of trouble for themselves, too. No, how are you going to win them? Our Savior was the friend of publicans and sinners. But mark you, he did not partake of the things they were doing. He lived a sinner's life in the midst of sinners. And the Spirit of God indwells us Christians to do exactly the same thing. And so he beseeches us in these verses 11 and 12, because of our position before God and because of our walk and responsibility before men, to live honestly before men and not to give ourselves over to fleshly lusts, but by our good works, by our lives, people will remember us and thank God. When they come to know the Savior, they will thank God in that day of visitation because of the lives and the testimony that God's people have given to the world among whom they live. Now we come down to chapter 2, verse 13, and we run right on down through chapter 4, verse 11. For those of you who are taking notes, remember we're talking about a new race of people. We've had the character of this new people. Now we're going to have the conduct of the people of God. And the last two verses which we've been dealing is a kind of introduction to the rest of it. And the very first thing he talks about in verses 13 to 17 is our relationship to governments, to those in authority. And I would like to read those words. I'm doing this because today there is a certain laxness, not only among the people of the world in our country, but also among Christians, where we've come to the place where we criticize our governments and our openly rebelling against our government. Now, you may very easily begin to rationalize your position. You might be able to say, well, I'm not in favor of all this immoral movements of the government, like in Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia and what have you, that this is an immoral war. But brother, may I tell you, every war is because of sin, because of corruption. And as one of our generals one time said, war is hell. That doesn't alter the fact that we're living in a world, as long as men are selfish and insane and controlled by the power of the enemy, you can expect war. But my, what a responsibility is upon us who are Christians in the midst of this rebellion and possible lawlessness. What am I to do? I'm a child of God living on earth. Am I to conduct myself like the people on earth, or am I to conduct myself as a child of God? With respect to governments, let me read the scripture. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or to governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not losing your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants, the bond slaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, again, we come now to the conduct of God's people, especially in relationship to governments. Now, remember when Peter wrote this, he was writing to believers who were facing martyrdom. They were living under the reign of Nero, one of the cruelest men that ever walked the face of the earth, a man who killed his own mother. He would brook no interference. And you remember he fiddled. He played the violin when Rome burned, with the screeches of the suffering and the torture of burning people. He played his violin. One of the most cruel men, I say, that ever lived. Saddest. This was his government. And an amazing opposition and hatred for Christians. That could be expected. For the more evil a person is in his heart, the more he opposes God, the more he will persecute God's people. Now, what shall I do under such a reign? Peter writes, and believe me, my friend, I say this in passing very bluntly, we do not have that sort of a thing today. We are not living under a government, under leadership that tortures us because we believe in the Lord. And yet even here, Peter says, you obey those who have the rule over you. Paul speaks of this, you remember, in Romans chapter 13, the first 7 verses. God has given, has allowed men to rule for the keeping down of evildoers, to keep down lawlessness. Allow me to read, may I, from Proverbs chapter 8. Do you remember, he's talking about, this is wisdom personified, and I read in verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth, and so on. Here we have our relationship to government because we are to be subject because they belong to God. That is, governments have been raised up by God to keep down evildoers. What kind of a country would you and I live in if we hadn't governments, even though the governments might be evil? Nevertheless, it holds back tremendous forces of lawlessness and evil. Even in these countries where you have dictatorship, and it's hard for people to live, nevertheless, if it were not for governments, even though we may not agree with the governments in their policies, they are being used by God to the keeping down of evil and lawlessness and rebellion. And as a Christian, I am to submit myself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or the president as supreme or to governors and so on. And in verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now let me just talk to that for a moment. We are not to live lawlessly as rebels, but to submit ourselves because God tells me to. And even if the laws are in opposition to the clearly revealed will of God, then render unto God the things that are God's and unto Rome or whatever the government is, the things that are theirs. We are to be subject for the Lord's sake and for our testimony's sake. As I said a while ago, they are given to keep down evildoers and to praise the good. By the way, I wish that were followed in the USA, in this blessed land of ours. And I've got to confess that our jurisprudence has been greatly affected by a lawless element in our country. I'm saying, being very blunt on this, and it's a sad thing. We, instead of those who live lawfully, oftentimes become the object of opposition. And those who are evil and lawless, criminal in their acts, sometimes they're patted on the back. We're living in a very, very critical day when 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But what shall I do? Obey the word of God. Because I'm a Christian, I belong to God. And he's raised up rulers to keep down evildoers. And when we walk thus, when we walk before God, as you have in verse 11, verse 15, in fact, verse 14, we are to be subject to governors as unto them that are sent by him, by God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You will muzzle, if I can use the term here, you will muzzle, you will gag, you'll shut the mouths of ignorant, foolish men. Lack of understanding. A state of ignorance. Most people know nothing of God's ways. May I remind you, Christian, we're not living in a Christian nation. Don't say you are. We're not. We're a wonderful nation. But it's not Christian in the sense that everyone is a real Christian. You remember in our Lord's day, in John chapter 15 and 16, our Lord said, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you. What for? The time will come when they will, he that killeth you will think he doeth God's service. Why? Because they know not the Father nor me. And one of the hard things that I find today is that many Christians are trying to make the unsaved people live like Christians. Now, my friend, listen, the Christian life is a supernatural life. Now, unless the Spirit of God indwells a person, they just can't live that kind of a life. Neither you or I can't do it. But our responsibility to those over us, we are to obey the law. Even though sometimes the law may not be what I would like it to be, I'm supposed to keep the laws as far as lies in me. And as I say, it would be a wonderful thing if we so walked before God, we would put to silence, we would muzzle, as I said a moment ago, we would shut the mouths of those who talk foolishly because of ignorance, who know nothing of the ways of God. I speak to you because I'm living in a generation where we're faced with this thing. Even though I may not agree with a lot of things that's done by our government, that's neither here nor there. As long as I'm living here under their rulership, I'm to be obedient for the Lord's sake. If it's a question of dishonoring the Savior, then that's something else. but as far as possible, I'm not to rebel against the government. And even if I can't do what they ask me to do, I still can't rebel. I may suffer what the law says, but as a Christian, as a child of God, I'm to be obedient. As free, verse 16, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. As the bond slaves of God, as free. Remember in John 8:36, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. But we are not to use our liberty as a mask to do things that are licensed, that are not trite. We are not to abuse our liberty. Someone has said that liberty always looks out for the welfare of others. Liberty is not a selfish thing. Liberty looks out for the welfare of others. And when I yell liberty for the purpose of my own lusts or my own desires or to break down the lives of others, then, my friend, that's not liberty, that's license. And I'm afraid a great deal of this, we talk about freedom today, is nothing more nor less than license, trying to rationalize sin and rebellion. So I find here, as free as the children of God were free, but not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant, as the bond slave. This is the word, as the bond slaves of God. As I say a moment ago, and I repeat it, don't use liberty as a mask to cover up something you want to do for yourself. People today who cry out for liberty, for the most part, all they want is license. And you must choose whom you're going to serve, as the servants of God. You see, we can choose whom we serve, either Christ or the devil, either self or Christ. We got to obey him as the bond slaves of God. Let us never do anything that will dishonor the Lord, bring reproach upon his name, or hinder his testimony. Allow me to finish this. In verse 17, hence honor all men. Love the brotherhood, that's the people of God. Fear God, put your trust in God, and honor the king. Now this is a general statement. Because we're children of God, because we're the bond slaves of God who ordained governments, hence honor all men. It's a general statement. Love the brethren, that is those who love the Savior. Fear God. If you're tempted to abuse your liberty in Christ, remember who God is and what he is. And then honor the king because of his position. And now may I close by saying, he that fears God, loves the brethren, honors all men, and will render to the king the honor due his position. Now, this is what God wants us to do. Now may the Lord grant to you today the joy of living for his glory.